The Manual for Good Wives by Lola J. Read by Precious Mustafa and Natalie Simpson. A wise woman wishes to be no one's enemy. A wise woman refuses to be anyone's victim. Maya Angelou. Prologue. Is this what it felt like? Moments from death? My body rooted to the floor, unable to move, startled by the crowds of men. Their hands balled into angry fists, spittle flying from their lips as they shouted my name, along with chants such as, "Liar!" and worse, "String her up!" There were reporters too, one of whom had set up one of those new camera contraptions at me, ready to catch me in its gaze. "Got anything to say for yourself?" said the man in scuffed shoes and an ill-fitting jacket. "You should be ashamed." "It appears you have already made up your mind," I said calmly. My voice edged with the last of its strength, almost resigned to the fate that awaited me. "Don't say anything," said a gruff voice beside me, a hand gripping my elbow. "Don't you care about what you've done? You're a disgrace," repeated the man with the shoes. A step closer and he'd almost be touching my face with that bulbous nose, attacking me with his frightful use of the Queen's English. I widened my eyes expectantly, tilted my head upwards. I would be defiant until the very end. "Harlot," said a voice from the left. "She deserves locking up," said another from the right. "Hussy." Each voice from the throats of men who I suspected had done much worse than I in their lives. Yet I was the one offered up for judgment. I was the one whose course in life stood on the verge of being altered. The steps up to the building were vast before me. I had travelled so far in life only to end up here. "Don't you have any remorse for the pain you caused?" asked another voice. This one sounded a tad kinder, minus the edge of hate. I looked towards him, smiling ironically. Pain? What did they know of pain? What did any of them know of my pain? A strong hand gripped my wrist tightly, forcing me to follow. Normally I followed no one, because I wasn't a woman to be tamed anymore. This time, however, following was possibly for the best, considering the self-righteous mob now clamoring for my blood. "Lying witch!" said a thunderous voice just as I took my first steps into that cot room. Part 1. Chapter 1. Temi, Western Africa, 1860. When a young lady is ready to be introduced to polite society, her sole purpose is to find a husband. Mrs. Adeline Copperfield, The Manual for Good Wives, 1888. My earliest memory of him is the sound of his laughter, a sort of cackle that descends into a throaty cough-like guffaw. His hand in mine, our toes connecting with the hot sand as we stood at the top of the hill overlooking a hazy yet beautiful horizon. "What do you think is down there?" It was always the same question as we stood on that hill, never daring to walk any further. My mother would say, "That which does not concern you," which was always enough to put an end to any further curiosity. Yet with him, with Olu, an explanation was always peppered with fantasy and words I could only soak up and devour. His knowledge on matters was impressive, if also concerning, because it came from the pages of an actual book. This boy was never without a book. Whilst I had been forbidden to speak of such things if they were written in English, which my father, the king, said, should never be allowed to replace our own language. Now I had gained a hunger to learn more of these written words simply because this boy I had known my entire life, who now walked around clutching a book, no longer matched me in knowledge. He had surpassed me. "What is down there is another life, one that is begging to be lived," he said. I looked at him with awe. "Why do you like to read words in another tongue?" I hoped he would not tire of my questions. I had so many, and he was the only person in my life who would ever consider answering them,